Okay, it is episode 299. Hold on, let me check my headphones here. Ben, can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I coming through clear?
Yes.
I'm sorry I can't be there tonight. I'm on the red carpet. The PWI just finished their 2023 Achievement Awards. I have the list of winners here in front of me.
Oh God.
So
I don't know if that's a good thing, because PWI is very
I'm
hit
gonna
or miss.
run the list down because I wanna get your thoughts on this list.
I'm down for that for sure.
All right, so the Achievement Awards just wrapped up. I've got the list here in front of me, and the first category is Rookie of the Year. All right. So the top three are Ava Raine with 21%.
What?
So
And
these
wait,
are
who?
the no, this is not the winners. These are the other names in the category.
Oh my God. Thank God. Okay.
Ava Raine 21 with 21%. Toga from Stardom with 10%. Gabby Forza, I'm not sure what company she's with 8%. However, the winner for Rookie of the Year with 29% goes to Saul Ruca.
What?
Yes, the winner for Rookie of the Year is Saul Ruca.
The winner for Women's Rookie of the Year is Sal Roca.
It just says Rookie of the Year. Doesn't I'm assuming it's for the women because could because
Oh,
it's
no. Oh, Jesus, criminy crap.
not starting off too well, are we?
That is horrible. What's the first of all, in all seriousness, do they list the criteria before the
You know what?
before?
Actually, let me double check that. I don't believe I did see this. Unlike for the PWI 500, I don't believe I saw the criteria listed at the beginning here.
Oh Lord.
So, but that I just found that I was like, I disagree with that.
Yes, that's a very strange pick, because didn't she get injured like a while ago?
Yes,
Like
and
when?
she just made a return at a house show. I believe it was over the weekend. I think it was the last night. I want to say, or yeah, I think it was NXT house show live event.
Oh shit, well that's very random.
Yeah. All right, so we're not off to a good start. Next up, we have the Most Improved Wrestler of the Year, and the nominees are Julia Hart with 28%, Trick Williams with 9%,
Oh boy.
and Sonata with 4%. The winner goes to LA Knight with 31%.
He was,
Yeah, Momba, yeah,
okay.
most improved wrestler of the year, LA Knight.
So wait a second, because okay, based on the other, and this is not a rant, this is an observation. Based on the other, based on the other
Name.
people in the category, right? It seems to me that they're talking about in-ring work
Yeah.
based on the other names. And for me, LA Knight's in-ring work has never been in question. His visibility in terms of a character and his emergence on WWE has been. But certainly, he doesn't belong on the same list as a Trick Williams or a Julia Hart in terms of their improvement, because Those two, and I'm assuming the other names on the list are greenhorns. And I'm not saying that as an insult, but certainly compared to LA Knight, they're greenhorns. And LA
Yeah.
Knight has been around for a long, long time. Because,
Yeah.
he's in his like early 40s or something.
Yep.
So that's very I mean I if they're going off of like presence on TV, then I agree with that, but certainly not, in ring talent. That seems very strange.
All right, next category, comeback of the year. Runners up are Saraya with 19%, Adam Cole with 17%, and Trish Stratus with 16%. The winner for comeback of the year is Trinity with 20%.
Okay.
You sound so, you look so
Well,
impressed.
and nothing against Trinity, because or now Naomi, because I've always been a fan of hers. But she, I mean, compared to some of the other names that have been, that have been out and then have come back and really made a statement. Trinity has always been, in the ring. What is this comeback of the year?
I have no idea. I don't know what you're
I
talking
don't
about.
I really, and I'm not being a smart ass, because I'm very impressed with Naomi, aka Trinity, but it's just I'm a little bit I'm just a little bit confused.
Yeah. Next category, Inspirational Wrestler of the Year. Cody Rhodes with 25%. Mickie James with 7 and Richard Holiday with 8. The winner for Inspirational Wrestler of the Year goes to Mark Briscoe with 37%.
I agree. I agree.
Up next, we have the most popular Wrestler of the Year. The runners up are LA Knight with 26%, MJF with 9%, and Sami Zayn with 6%. The winner for most popular wrestler of the year goes to, do you want to take a guess?
Let's see. Cody Rhodes.
With 27%. Cody Rhodes
Well,
is most
that's
popular
not a
wrestler of the
surprise.
year. Yeah. All right, then we have the
Well,
most.
that's not a surprise.
Then we have the most hated wrestler of the year. Runners up are Christian Cage with 8%, Roman Reigns with 7%, and CM Punk with 6%. The winner for
Who was
the
the second one?
Roman Reigns.
Oh, okay.
The
Sure.
winner for the mo the winner for the most hated wrestler of the year with 52% is Dominic Mysterio.
Absolutely, I agree with that one for sure. No qu question about that one.
Next, we have the feud of the year. So the runners up are CM Punk versus AEW with 20%,
That's hilarious.
Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar with 10%, and Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus with 8%. However, the feud of the year goes to Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline with 31%.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%.
This is the one cat.
I was gonna
One.
say the fact that Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus, because we knew they weren't gonna win that category, of course, but the fact that they're even on the list is bad, because that feud was just painful. No disrespect to either Trish or Becky, but my God, let's just
Yeah,
call it a spade a spade.
but that cage match was pretty good. The one they had, the one well, key
yes,
touch.
Yeah. The match itself was pretty good, but the lead up to it, oh my god.
This one I don't really care about because this one is really random, but we have for the Indie Wrestler of the Year. Runners up are Steph Delander with 7%.
Yeah.
We have Ali Catch with 6% and Brian Keith with 5%. The winner for Indie Wrestler of the Year with 50% goes to Matt Cardona.
Well, it's hard to argue with that based on, you know, how successful he's been outside of WWE. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I may not like it, but it's hard to argue with it.
Up next, we have Match of the Year. Runners up are Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre from WrestleMania with 11%. Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega from June 25th with 9%. And MJF versus Bryan Danielson from March 5th with 8%. And the winner is Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair.
No, 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 fucking no. No, no, and no again.
I'm guessing your reaction to that is no.
Yeah. That's just blatant favoritism. I'm sorry.
All right. Oh, are you ready for Tag Team of the Year?
Yeah.
The runners-up are Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn with 16%.
Okay.
Better than you, baby, with 9%. I hate that name.
Yeah, I do too.
The Usos with 6%. The winners for Tag Team of the Year with 37% are FTR.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that.
Next, we have Faction of the Year. Runners up, Blackpool Combat Club with 16%. The Bloodline with 11% and Bullet Club Gold with 6%. The winner with 48% goes to Judgment Day.
You know what? I'm actually surprised the Bloodline didn't win that one, but I'm glad. I agree.
Okay, next we have for the Woman of the Year.
What does that mean? Fuck.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just reading this. I don't fucking know.
Well, I got you to drop an ass song before I did. This is already going to be a good show. Jesus. Okay.
The first up are Toni Storm with 7%. Bianca Belair with 6 and Athena with 5.
Athena, what the hell?
The winner with 50% is Rhea Ripley.
I agree. Okay, very good.
And next up, we have Wrestler of the Year.
Okay.
Runners up are Gunther with 15%. His name is Walter.
Precisely.
Then we have Will Ospreay with 12%. And MJF with 9%. And the winner for Wrestler of the Year is Seth Rollins with 27%.
No, I would have given the Wrestler of the Year to Gunther. Absolutely. I disagree with that entirely.
So that is the PWI Achievement Awards.
Who would you have had win that one?
I wouldn't say Seth Rollins. I'd go Gunther. I mean, the Intercontinental Championship and the hold he's had on that title since he won it. And it's been how many days?
Over 600 now.
This is the same as his NXT UK World Championship run, title run. This is that run all over again, and this is, yeah, that one was great as well.
Exactly.
So of course, then we have fans sending in their own stupid awards or
Oh,
whatever,
God.
like Rule Bender of the Year Award, the House of Torture from New Japan.
What? Oh, God. Are you kidding
Right,
me?
like the greatest entrance they gave it to Julia Hart.
You people are a bunch of fucking nerds.
Like
I'm
they have
sorry.
the Yeet Award. Okay, I'm not even gonna go over. I'm just, but like that's some of the readers and what they sent in for their own awards. So Ben, that is the PWA Achievement Awards 2023.
Well, thank you for starting off with the podcast with
So now we are going to get into the weekend wrestling, and what do you want to do, Ben?
a laugh. I'll take Dynamite and I'll even take NXT. I'll take that off your hands.
Okay, all right, and I'll do a Raw and SmackDown, and I'll get started with a Raw. And I, for the high points, I have the Rhea Ripley promo, and the country celebration, as well as the main event, the
Okay.
Nakamura and Cody Rhodes match.
Okay.
Those are my high points. Low points, I gave it to that tag match. Tozawa and Maxine versus Ivar and Valhalla, I mean.
Yeah, that was bad.
But I don't like what they're doing with Valhalla or Sarah Logan.
No, they make her look like a joke.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I mean, that's really all I have.
Okay, well then I got some different ones then. Okay, very good.
Like maybe you have different ones that I might have not that I might have missed out on, because I just like I when I'm watching, I go through them, but I might miss one or two matches. So maybe you can fill those ones in then.
Okay, so the New Day versus Imperium versus DIY versus the
That
Creed Brothers.
yeah, the Fatal 4-Way. Okay,
That
I
was a
just
high
quit.
point for
Yeah,
sure.
I just put Fatal 4-Way. That I didn't put like the names, I just put Fatal 4-Way.
And then Shayna and Becky, I thought was really good.
That was good, yep.
That got a lot of time, which I really appreciated. 12:40 for a women's match on Raw. That's a lot of time. I also agree with you with the main event. That was really good. Well, actually, if I'm judging it as just a match, it was good, but as a bull rope match, it wasn't very good because they didn't use it.
Okay, obviously, because I saw like the referee would start putting the rope, the one end around Cody's wrist, and I saw
No.
that. I was like, what? Around, well, I was like, why would they have a bull rope match with Shinsuke and Cody?
Well, and Cody did explain that it's the actual bull rope that Cody or that Dusty always used, so that was cool, but it was just random.
No, I get that, but I'm saying why a bull rope match? Because with Shinsuke though.
Well, because they were running with this angle coming out of the controversy with everything else going on,
Oh, okay.
and at a house show,
Oh yeah, he attacked
There's the guy that
Ashens. He
attacks
attacked
Cody.
him. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that. So low points wise, I had I definitely agree with you with Ivar and Valhalla versus Akira Tozawa and Maxine. I know Clay is like a fanboy for Akira Tozawa, but come on now.
But Ben, you have to go watch Tozawa's matches. I'm not talking about WWE, I'm talking about his Evolve matches. I even
No,
haven't seen him.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure, but he's dogging this guy in terms of WWE, and it's just no. The comedy stuff does, whatever.
Alright.
Anyway, JD
You're
McDonough.
muted, Ben.
Well,
I had to do that. Sorry, I had to do that. Go ahead.
JD McDonough versus The Miz.
Okay. What is that? Wait, what is that?
That was a low point for sure.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The Kabuki Warriors versus Kid Carter and Katana Chance. I thought it was sloppy. And that's what I had for high points and low points for Raw.
Okay.
So
All
yeah.
right. So now we are going to move on to NXT.
Oh my God in hell. That's exactly what I'm in when we're talking about NXT. I'm in hell, ladies and gentlemen, because I've always said this, and I will stand by it. There are talent in NXT that I'm a huge fan of, right? But the brand in and of itself, I don't get it. It is so fucking bastardized and just terrible in comparison to what it was in the past. NXT used to, in my opinion, used to be the premier promotion in this country, and now it's just ugh.
Shawn Michaels is making me angry.
I know. But let's get into the high point, low point part. So high points, I'll give it to the first match, Axiom and Ethan Frazer versus Malik Blade and Idris Inafe.
Yep.
Let's see, what was the other high point there? I know there was one more. Oh yes, and Ilya Dragunov versus Dijak,
Okay.
and it was kind of a nice touch to have Gacy interfere. It was kind of like a throwback to an old feud with Dijak, but. It just served to get Dijak past this match, and move Dragunov on to something else. So overall, I thought that was really good. Now, low points, Alexis King over Riley Osborne, Roxanne Perez and Lola Vice, and Metaphor. Over Fallon Henley and Ren Sinclair. There is just such a vast difference between the really good stuff on NXT and the really bad stuff. To me, there's like nothing in the middle.
And I have a question. Where did Ren Sinclair come from? I she just popped out like out of nowhere. Is she part of the NIL
I don't know.
tryouts?
I was gonna ask you that because I don't know where she came from.
I'm gonna have to look her up. So you didn't like the Lola Vice? You know what I didn't like? I didn't like the Lyra Valkyria Roxanne Perez match of Vengeance Day because now okay. Did Lola Vice cash in and lost, right?
Yes.
So is it that's kind of bad. Obafemi cashes in his contract and wins the North American Championship. Lola Vice cashes in and loses her. That I didn't like that. I didn't like that they turned that Lyra and Roxanne match into a three-way.
I mean, in general, the only cash in a triple threat that has ever worked was Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Other than that, in general, as a theory, it's a horrible idea to cash in a triple threat. Like it makes something into a triple threat match.
I was looking forward to Roxanne Perez and Lyra Valkyria, and then when Lullabies came out and I cashed in, I'm like, no, I don't like it. They just this match just went from what could have been good to something terrible.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree.
Okay, I'm gonna look up Ren Sinclair during the commercial, which we'll be going into shortly after. I think we can get AEW in it as well.
Absolutely. So we might as well.
Oh, so that's all we have for NXT.
Indeed.
Oh yeah, I pretty much
Absolutely.
have the same stuff, the same ones. Okay, go on.
Very good. So, Dynamite, I had Hangman and Swerve as a high point. This actually went a half an hour, folks. Like, this was fantastic stuff. I mean, I was, number one, I was floored with how long it went, but even more than that, I was floored by the fact it didn't even feel like that, not even close, because I was that engaged in the match. So I thought that was really good stuff.
I'm sorry, I must have missed something. Last night you said a double turn.
No, Tony did, and he was referring to the fact that at the end of the match, which ended up being a draw,
Yeah, no, it was this match though, right?
right.
Okay, I'm gonna go back in and watch that.
Because he was referring to the fact that Swerve was asking for a 5-minute extension, and Hangman, the face of the match, didn't give it to him, so he felt like that was a double turn.
Okay.
Because the face move would have been to acquiesce to the request, and he didn't do that. So, let's see. And then match wise, I would also give a high point to the main event, Big Bill and Ricky Starks versus Sting and Darby Allin. But I have to question. I didn't like the fact that Sting and Darby won the championships,
No.
because now it's gonna be like a foregone conclusion as to what's gonna happen with Sting's retirement match. With the Young Bucks taking the titles at Revolution, because this is Sting's retirement match, for fuck's sake. So he's not gonna retain a title that he just won at a retirement match. I mean, why put the titles on him? I mean, I know they're undefeated as a tag team, but everybody knows that Sting is retiring. You've been building this thing for months. And I'll give credit where credit's due. That's one of the things that AEW has handled well, is the build up to Sting's retirement. That and the Continental Classic are two of the best things that have been on, AEW television in the last year. So, it's nothing against Sting, but logically, that just doesn't seem to make sense to me. And if I'm going even deeper into the bag regarding the tag team titles, I wasn't a fan of Ricky Starks and Big Bill taking them off of FTR in the first place. So, it's just, I think that in general was a miss. But the match itself was a high point. Now, low points are very simple, folks. First and foremost, the stuff with the CMLL guys.
Ben,
I'm not really feeling this, to tell you the truth.
they're doing it again tonight on Collision. Orange Cassidy versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Well, okay, but I'm not gonna bitch about Tomohiro Ishii because I really like.
I know, but I'm saying again, New Japan, like you see, but like by now everyone knows the New Japan guys because they've been on TV, but like CMLL, no explanation why are they there, who they are.
Exactly. I mean, I only knew who Volador was because he's been on NJPW, which we've been covering on this show lately. But that's the only reason I knew who he was.
Speaking of which, during the break, I'm gonna go look up the results for the past few days, as we're still on the road to the beginning.
Very good. And then the next low point was Chris Jericho and Konosuke Takeshita. I know for me it's blasphemous to give Tanoshke a low point, but I just wasn't feeling this at all, if I'm being honest with you. That was just my opinion. I don't know if you guys felt differently, but it just it.
I'm gonna add another one to that, Tony Storm and Red Velvet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I trust me, I didn't forget that. You said it and I didn't even have to. Thank you. You know, this is why I love the Professor Elio Canella. Yeah, just he gets it, folks. He understands. And did you have anything else to add that I missed?
Oh, nope, that's all I have on my end.
Okay. And you'll excuse us while we take a break. Sometimes we need a break from the bullshittery that is AEW. We'll be right back after I get a refreshment from Mountain Dew. And Elio, you need a refill on Ensure. I see your desk there. We'll be right back, folks.
And we're back, and that was a quick wrap up of the weekend wrestling. We only have SmackDown to go, Ben.
Yes, that was very quick. But we do have to cover the wrestling.
Do you want to do that before we get into SmackDown?
Yes, let's do that because that makes
All
sense.
right, let's go.
We have to cover it because ignoring it is like ignoring a seismic shift, especially with everything that's been going on this week. It's like trying to ignore an elephant in the room. It's kind of impossible. So obviously the big draw was The Rock and all the stuff that goes into that, but because of the fact that was billed as a WrestleMania 40 press conference, they kind of did a little bit for all of the major matches, and there was something about it that confused me, but we'll get into it. We'll get into that in just a minute. First of all, we had a pre-show panel, which the pre-show panel was pretty cool. It was Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, Big E, and CM Punk. Now, and they had conversations and all this other stuff, but I was kind of like, why did they do that, right? I don't think it really worked. I would have just done the press conference, because you don't really have a panel before you get into a press conference. You have a panel before a pay-per-view. So
I think they called this the WrestleMania 40 kickoff, which I don't understand why, because WrestleMania 40 is in April.
yeah, I don't know. They were billing it as a press conference and then they called it a kickoff. I don't know. But
So, what are you gonna do on the day of WrestleMania 40? We're not gonna have a kickoff at all. I guess we're gonna go right into the show because I'm cool with that.
I'm very cool with that. Let me just say. So they had a lot of extra talking crap. And this is a live stream, so I'm just gonna get you right into the action with
Oh, sorry, Ben. After you're done, after we're done with the press conference, I have a clip I have to play for you that I found earlier.
okay, cool. So when the press conference finally officially starts, it is Triple H, and he comes out and he puts over the first WrestleMania, particularly the first WrestleMania main event with Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Paul Orndorff, and Mr. T. Obviously, it was Rowdy Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff versus Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. And says, 40 years later, it's just as big as ever and blah blah blah. Right, and 40 years, this is going to be the biggest WrestleMania, blah blah blah. So then we get into the first guest of the evening, which was Bianca Belair, because which confused me, and no disrespect to Bianca at all, but to this point, to my knowledge, Bianca doesn't have a match on the show. She's not a champion. So why is she here? Okay? And the answer is that she plugs her new reality show.
Have you seen that, by the way?
No.
Neither, you know what? Neither have I. I don't care.
And no disrespect to Montez and Bianca,
No, but I just don't care about these reality shows. It seems like everyone has a reality show now.
I just realistically, I don't give a shit. So that's what she was on the show for, and she the big shocker was that she mentioned Sasha Banks. And put over, the time that she mentioned or the time that she main evented WrestleMania with her. I was surprised that she mentioned Sasha Banks. But other than that, it was just to put over her her reality show. She mentioned the Super Bowl, blah blah blah. So I'm not really sure why she was there, because she hasn't really factored into the WrestleMania build. I'm not saying she shouldn't, but I'm sure they're going to do something with her, as because it would be a crime not to, but it's just what the hell. Just in terms of this press conference that they're supposed to make a big deal out of. So then we have Becky Lynch. And she gets interrupted by, wait a minute, did
Rhea
she?
Ripley? Rhea
Yeah,
Ripley.
she actually, no, I'm sorry. Rhea Ripley made her way to the stage first.
Becky Lynch interrupted her.
What?
Becky Lynch interrupted her. It's the other way around.
Yes. Exactly. And then okay, this was a good this was a good segment. She was like Rita was always like, mommy's always on top, and then Becky was like, well, mommy's gonna know what it's like to be a bottom, you know. I'm like, Jesus, I thought this was a PG rated show. Fuck.
Right?
But that was kind of interesting. But yeah, that was a good segment. Obviously, the best women's match that they can put on at WrestleMania is Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. So the fact that they're going in that direction, no complaints. Now, before we get into the big main attraction of this thing, I want to ask you about Seth Rollins.
Okay.
In direct relation to this press conference, because to me, as we'll talk about a little bit later on, he came off as very much the third wheel. So I thought it was already decided that Cody wanted to go after Roman, and that was the whole point that we were holding this press conference to discuss that. But then out comes Seth Rollins with his championship, and he says, you know, I gotta know what's going on with WrestleMania, and, you know, he puts over the World Heavyweight title, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, Cody, get out here. We want to hear your decision. But of course, it's Roman Reigns. And then we get into the stuff. So my question to you is, because I was thinking the same thing, did Rollins come off as completely unnecessary here?
Yeah, like no one's going after his title. No one's there to, like, I mean, I guess they had to have both champions there, but everyone knew that Cody was going after Roman's title.
Well, I thought that was the entire point. But, you know, that's the situation that WWE got themselves into when they had Cody win the championship. But, you know, it made Seth look like a second fiddle bitch. You know, I know bitch is like an overused term in wrestling, but literally he looked like the ugly stepsister trying to get a date to the prom. You know, it's just ridiculous. And then Roman continues to bury him just like he did on, you know, on SmackDown, and says, the last week, and says, you know, you're the bum, get out of here. You know, way to put over your champion there. I don't agree necessarily with Seth being portrayed as second fiddle, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
So that part was weird to me. But then we get to the good stuff here. And, you know, Roman walks out and says, I choose The Rock. And Seth is like, that is not how this works. Well, obviously The Rock comes out and says, well, it kind of is. We're the tribal, you know, chief. We're the tribal, you know, chiefs of the family, so to speak. And it's just kind of stupid. You know, one funny moment was like, you could hear a little kid in the crowd going, you suck, Rock. it was really kind of funny. So then The Rock is welcoming us all to the press conference. We want Cody. No, we don't, chance. Blah, blah, blah. And then The Rock shows us the family tree. And I have to tell you, that was awesome. That was my favorite visual of the entire press conference, to tell you the truth.
You can even find that, they actually have that. If you Google it, they have the whole silent screen. It's pretty cool the way it's set up.
Yeah, but I mean, the graphic that they had with all the branches and the, you know, the massive.
Yeah.
I mean, they had everybody on there. That was awesome. So I really enjoyed that. And then this is, so he started out with doing like, I love the passion and blah, blah, blah. But then I think they did the best thing that they could possibly do here, which is turn the Rock into Hollywood Rock, which we haven't seen in like 20 years. So I yeah. thought that that was awesome. You know, like if you don't believe that this is the biggest possible main event for WrestleMania 40, then quite frankly, it doesn't matter what we think. You know, and in terms of you know, presentation and the way to switch course here with all the negative feedback. The best way to do that, you know, and I admit, I didn't see this coming at all. I didn't see The Rock turning heel and joining Roman Reigns. That part is awesome. I mean, yeah. Holy crap, that part is absolutely awesome. But let's not get it twisted, folks. Okay, let's not all say, oh, this was the original plan. WWE had this in the bag the whole time. No, they didn't.
Oh, my God. You know what? Sorry, Clay. I got to say, after this, obviously people on TikTok are, streaming the press conference, or, they're making their own video with their reactions. Yeah. This one guy I saw, was jumping up and down. It's like, yo, we did it, guys. We did it, yo. just shut up. Shut up. That's the kind of fan that I am. Just sit down. Go read a book, please. Go read a book.
See, you pissed off the professor. I just laugh at them because they're a bunch of nerds with no life.
I was laughing. I'm like, oh, just shut up. Go read a book. Fuck.
But it was hilarious. But no, let's just address this. This was not the original plan.
No, it wasn't. No. Stop it.
Go, you know, go suck an egg. As far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
You know, but
or do what I suggested. Go with the book. Fuck any book. I don't care.
Exactly. And after The Rock completes his heel promo by saying that you know, by showing the family tree and the dominant family in professional wrestling, Cody comes out and says, "This right here is bullshit." And this is where I
did they bleep it out?
Yes, and that's what I'm gonna say, bro. I wish they wouldn't do that.
You know, okay, I was saying this last night. This makes no sense on TV, on regular TV, NXT or whatever. You have people chanting "shut the fuck up," which you can actually hear them say, and get on something like this, they bleep it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, WWE is a PG show, but it just.
NXT's not PG if they got fans where you can audibly hear them saying "shut the fuck up."
So then this is where, you know, Cody kind of like tries to, you know, play his part to fix him looking like an absolute baboon's asshole on
stop it, Ben! You're muted!
No, because we all saw on SmackDown last week how it's like, you know, I'm gonna get you Roman Reigns, but not at WrestleMania. And
that was weird.
He just stepped aside like a little bitch, which caused this whole thing. And then he fixes it by saying, you know, or tries to fix it by saying that, No, I have the power to decide because you won the Royal Rumble. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, that's true, Cody. But why didn't you realize that when you were having your little promo on SmackDown there? You know, it's
Yeah.
just so
Ben,
it
can
got.
I Ben, hold on. Ben, can I ask what the point of that was? Him saying not at WrestleMania?
I don't know. That's something that they still have to. The only thing that they have to explain to me, after this press conference, because in my opinion, I will give WWE credit in the fact that I think they're doing the best that they can to fix what they obviously realize is a fuck up, which they don't typically do. Okay, so I have to give them credit for this. But the one thing that they really have to do to make it make entire sense is explain why Cody won the Rumble. Now, let's mention something that we talk about on Wrestling POV last night. Because Tony brought up an interesting theory, and I want to get your take on it, Elio. He was under the impression that CM Punk was supposed to win this Rumble, and because of the fact that he got hurt, an audible was called, and they gave it to Cody.
Well, that's what I was, that's what I thought, that's what I thought. I thought CM Punk was supposed to win. I mean, everyone was picking CM Punk to win it.
Not
So,
me. Not me.
okay, relax, Ben. We know you're 4-0, et cetera, et cetera. Ben, okay, go read a book.
I can't. I'm actively recording this podcast with you.
All right, then.
Jesus Christ. But so like that's the one thing that they have to explain because the biggest problem with this storyline logistically is that they made a mockery out of the Royal Rumble with what they did on SmackDown. But
Because Cody saying that at WrestleMania is like, well, then you just made the Royal Rumble me seem meaningless to have you win. Because why did they have Cody win if you're gonna see now at WrestleMania? That just makes no sense.
So while I acknowledge WWE's effort to fix the situation, because usually they wouldn't have even done this press conference and have all this intrigue still around it, they would just be forging ahead with what they wanted to do in the first place. But there is that part that just doesn't make sense. But I love heel rock. I love it. Even though there are some questions that I still have, I'm much better with this version of the Road to WrestleMania that we have now because it's unpredictable, and I legitimately have no idea what's going to happen here. Whereas, when we were talking about the Royal Rumble predictions and the WrestleMania season predictions, we were both saying, this is the most predictable of all time because you have to have Roman, or I'm sorry, you have to have Cody finish the story. And with Cody winning the Rumble, that's just dead obvious. So where I have still done that, yes, but given the fact that they messed everything up and then did what they did to fix it, I can at least tell you I'm more intrigued with this version of WrestleMania season, but I can't help but acknowledge the fact that we wouldn't have had to go through all this if you had just done it properly in the first place, because you can still have Cody win the Rumble and have The Rock involved with Roman the same way that we have now as a result of the press conference. because you can have Cody win the Rumble, and you can have Cody get Roman, and then in the build up to the match, you can have Cody invoking the name of the ancestors, and then that pisses off The Rock, who was originally with Cody against Roman. You know, so they could have gotten here without all of this. That's why I say that this, what we saw at the press conference, was not part of the original plan.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But I do give them credit for it, and I am more invested. And Heel Rock is awesome. But before we wrap this up, I'll say this again: the fact that people are putting death threats on social media directed at The Rock's daughter,
right?
Get a life, people.
Like, yeah, you're not true wrestling fans if you do that. Okay, so and don't tell me I've been watching forever and this and that, because no, it doesn't matter. I've been watching longer than a lot of these people today.
Well, so have I. And
we don't do, Ben doesn't do that kind of shit. I don't do that. We're normal wrestling fans, unlike you that still live in the basement of your parents' house.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. I don't understand that, because this is wrestling. You're talking about real life, and right. and speaking of real life things, let's not forget that despite all of the stuff that's going on with WrestleMania season, once this stuff ends, the biggest story in wrestling, as it should be, is the Vince McMahon allegations, and that story is not going away. That is real life shit that deserves our attention, and those people who are victims deserve our full attention and our full support. Not these people who are sending death threats over professional wrestling storylines.
Yep.
Like, yes, I am pissed off about how this turned out, and it doesn't make any sense, and it was kind of diluted, but it's a wrestling storyline. You know, get a grip.
Exactly. Some fans are so stupid.
Yeah. So then, with that being said, did you have anything to add, Elio, with the
press conference? No, we all basically covered it all.
Very good.
So moving on to SmackDown.
Absolutely. And I'm going to – actually, Elio, I'm going to let you take the lead on this, because I feel like I've been talking too much.
Okay. Well, I mean, I got to say, I was trying to watch the press conference, but like, I didn't get to see it all, so I might have missed some stuff. So you filled in a lot of the gaps.
Very good. But did you see SmackDown in it? Did you see SmackDown in its entirety?
No, of course. I saw SmackDown, so I got SmackDown here.
Okay, very good.
And okay, so the opening announcement, the opening segment. Okay. I can see you fucking AEW fanboys already. And yeah, I'm calling you fanboys because that's exactly what you are, and I don't care. You can say whatever you want. But did you catch what Adam Pearce said? In the opening segment? He addressed Nick Aldis as Nicholas. I can just see it now. Oh, they take a shot at AEW. Shut up. No, it wasn't.
Shut the fuck up.
I have that one. I have a high point. I gave Drew McIntyre and AJ Styles, Bianca Belair and Mia Yim. That Bayley promo, I really enjoyed that, because at first when Dakota Kai came out, like, okay, she, it looked like she was with Bayley, but then like She went out and she came back. She slid back in with steel chair. And it's like, uh-oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
So like, yeah, for that moment, you couldn't tell like which side she was on, but of course she's on Bailey's side. And did you see your tweet?
No, I didn't.
Bakoda forever. Don't do that.
Yeah, please stop. Don't do that.
Also, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate DIY, and basically that's about it. I didn't really have any low points on the show. This was a fun show.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Particular emphasis for me has to be put on DIY and Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. Thank God he's back.
Right.
But that match was an absolute was just an absolute treat. I really enjoyed that.
Yep.
And then, to back up just a little bit to earlier on in the show, I loved Triple H's response to The Rock.
It doesn't matter.
I mean that's just a perfect throwback to The Rock and Triple H feuding all those years ago, and it's just
Yep.
kind of it's different now, but it's cool. You know what I mean? So I enjoyed that. I once again, it's like I said earlier, I think they're making the best that they can out of a bad situation, and
And
they've
that's another one I saw where, or how long is it going to be before we see Triple H's in ring return? Okay, just stop. He's not going
you
back. Stop.
motherfuckers. Did you not see the thing where he had a heart fucking problem and almost
Exactly.
died? You like
I'm telling you, people are stupid.
these people have no con, and obviously I'm not including the listeners to the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast, but you guys are intelligent, you have a brain, and we love you. But the rest of you people, to quote George Carlin, holy jumping fucking shit balls. I really don't understand it.
Seriously, like, what is wrong with people? Like, do you not know? And then they get mad when I tell them clearly you don't follow wrestling.
Exactly. It's just they think they know everything and they don't.
Exactly.
So that wraps up SmackDown, because to tell you the truth, I didn't have any low points either. Elio smashed the high points. This was the for me one of the most enjoyable editions of SmackDown in a long time. Obviously we had a lot of hot topics coming out of it, and we had with the press conference and all that, so we had a lot to look forward to going into SmackDown. I think that they delivered in that regard, and quite frankly, I'm very excited about next week's edition of the show, because we have The Rock and Roman Reigns coming to address Triple H. Before we wrap up this portion of the show, I want to reiterate, we're not all of a sudden, jumping on the WWE fan bus here, because I'm still saying the way that this was originally handled was not good. Everything that I said about The Rock and the whole TKO thing before all of this, I stand by that. I don't think we should have ever been in this situation, but the fact that we now are, and we've gotten to the point where they're actively trying to fix it, I give them credit for that. And given what we saw with The Rock, I am looking forward to what they do. But I am not backtracking, and I am not saying, oh my God, all of a sudden this is the best thing. No. So just to be clear, we still stand by everything that we said before all this went down. And with that, we'll take a break.
Actually, hold on, before why we go into break, I think that these two New Japan shows in. Because it's real quick. So basically, February 6th, they had a show with the main event being LIJ going over just five guys. And then on the 8th, it was the opposite results, just five guys defeating LIJ. And then they had another show last night, New Beginning in Osaka. And Ben, when we return, I'm going to run down... I'm gonna run down the February 11th show for you, the lineup for that show. But also okay. February 12th is CMLL Fantastica Mania. I'll run that down for you, and you can decide what you want to do with that one.
Okay, very good.
And now with that, we will be back in 10. All right, and we are back in Ben. If we have to save things that we can just save it for the next show, like movie tournament, whatever, I'm still putting that 101 matches tournament together.
Yeah, let's save that.
Yeah, we can save all that stuff. I'm gonna read over the lineup for New Japan, and then we'll get into Wrestling Roulette.
Okay, very good.
All right, so this is for February 11th, which is tomorrow, and this is a New Beginning in Osaka. So the lineup for this one, we have the team of Yo and Toriano versus Bolton Oleg and Ryusuke Taguchi. Then we have Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto versus Caleb Newman and the Great Okan. In the third match, we have an 8-man tag team match.
Well,
and in this match we have Tiger Mask, Tomoaki Hanma, El Desperado, and Shota Umino versus Evil, Sho, Ren Narita, and Yujiro Takahashi. In the fourth match we have LIJ versus just five guys.
Again? Jesus Christ.
I'm telling you. In the fifth match, we have Kazuchika Okada versus Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Now that's a hell of a match.
Then we have, for the IWGP Tag Team Championships, the champions El Fantasmo and Hikuleo defending against Chase Owens and Kenta.
Well, that should be a very good match as well, actually.
The seventh match is a special singles match. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson.
Hello.
And then in the eighth match, in the main event, we have United Empire versus Bullet Club in a 10-man steel cage match.
Oh, that's the one that they—that's the one that they were talking about. So this is the one that weren't a bunch of people talking about that on the last show we did, the 10-man cage match.
Not sure I remember.
I thought that was like their next big thing.
These shows all run together. It's hard to keep up. Like, I mean, look at the road to shows. The matches are all the same on every show.
Well, yeah, that's why we don't cover all of the roads of the shows on here.
Right. I just run down the schedule, and like if the results look like different than the previous one, then I'll bring them up. But okay, so for Monday the 12th, they are going to have New Japan presents CMLL Fantastica Mania. Like, this runs for a whole week from February 12th to the 19th, but this is 2020. This is the first one on Monday. And this is the lineup.
Okay.
So we have the team of Doki and Defunto versus Gedo and Taiji Ishimori. Then we have Tiger Mask versus Magnus in the second match. The third match will be an eight-man tag match. Riosuke Taguchi, Brillante Jr., El Desperado, and Stigma versus Titan, Tetsunaido, Kamaitachi, and Bushi. Then we have the fourth one will be a six-man tag match. Pegaso, Dark Panther, and Tomaki Hanma versus Strong Machine, Io, and Okamura. Then we have another six-man tag match after that
Oh my God.
with Templario, Atlantis Jr., and Volador Jr. versus Soberano, Rocky Romero, and Hikikomori. Then we have another six-man tag match. And this is the main event. And it will be Hiroshi Tanahashi, Masahiro Dorado, and Mystico versus Francesco Akira, Stuka Jr., and Ultimo Guerrero.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you'd want to look at this
No,
one.
probably not.
I mean, tag team after tag team has stop.
No.
So, you know what? That brings us to our final segment, Wrestling Roulette. I'm just gonna set it up and we'll be back in a few seconds.
Okay.
All right, Ben, it is time for the final segment of the show, Wrestling Roulette.
Very good.
Of course, the way this works, I play 21 tracks. Ben has to guess which wrestler the theme belongs to, and we have the obstacles along the way. If a wrestler's theme shows up more than once in the rotation, it is -1 point. Ben, are you ready for your first one?
Yes.
All right, here we go with your first one.
Right to the sensor.
Right to center. Is that not annoying?
Yeah, that was incredibly
Yeah.
annoying there.
All right, number two.
Lord Tensai.
Yes, Lord Tensai. Terrible character. What were they
Yes.
thinking? All right, next.
Fabulous.
Carmella.
Carmella.
God save the
Triple H.
Triple H. Just put this over here to the side. Okay.
Sheamus.
Sheamus. Five up and five down.
Indeed.
All right, here we go.
Steve Blackman.
No, that is draws.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase.
Can you replay that?
Okay.
Pass.
That is Jay Lethal.
Oh, the Macho Man version. Okay.
Yeah.
King Carter.
That is Sylvain Grenier.
Oh my god. Okay. That's terrible.
All right, number 10, right?
I think so, yeah. The Corporation?
No, it's not. It's the Corporate Ministry.
Close enough. Jesus. Close enough.
All right, number 11. Here we go.
That's a terrible version of that song, but MVP.
MVP. Has he ever used this one?
I don't think so. Not that I recall.
Baller's Anthem is what it's called.
It could be a remix. I'm not sure, but I don't think he ever used it. I've never heard that before in my life. I don't know.
That is Booker T when he was doing the G.I. Bro character.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Terrible. 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 What were you thinking? All right.
Bailey?
No, it is not. That is Alexa Bliss.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All it's right, a weird number, version. Number 14.
I can never get that one. I don't know what it is.
Candice LeRae.
Oh, shit. That's right. Okay.
All right.
You smell what The Rock is cooking? The Rock's laying the smack.
The Rock.
The Rock's. All right.
Batista.
Batista. All right. Up to 17, I believe, right?
Yep. D'Lo Brown.
That is K Quick.
Oh, okay. R-Truth, all right.
All right, next one.
Uso!
The Usos.
The Usos.
All right, I kind of can't wait for them to get back as a tag team. I think it'll happen eventually. I don't know when, but I think it'll happen eventually.
After WrestleMania, maybe?
After Roman turns face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, number 19. Here we are. Of course, it's a stupid commercial. We'll be back. Right. All right, Ben, number 19. Here we go.
Alpha Academy.
Alpha Academy. All right. Number 20.
What the hell was that? I don't know.
That is Virgil.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh my god.
So here's a little more of it.
That's awful.
All right, Ben, last one. Are you ready for your last one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, that's a happy, peppy way to end the podcast with Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle. All right, Ben, your final score is 13.
I did pretty good.
All right, so we're bringing this show to a close.
Very good.
All right, that is it for episode 299 of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. We had the Achievement Award, so I'm heading back home tomorrow from this, all this craziness out here. That list, I don't know how they came up with that list of winners.
Well, you know, when you first started listening, I'm like, oh God, here we go. I thought it was going to be one of those TikTok lists again. But then as we got deeper into it, it started getting better.
Yep. All right, so that is it. Another episode. We will be back on Tuesday with Survivor Series 89. We will be in Richfield, Ohio, I believe, once again, because we were there for 88 as well. So Survivor Series 89, that's going to be fun. This time we have team names. We don't have to look up the wrestlers. We have team names.
Yes, and Elio was telling me some of them, and it's pretty, it is cool that they have team names, but the team names are pretty bad.
Do you want to run them out real quick for you?
Yes.
All right, let me just pull them up real quick before we head out.
Okay.
Survivor Series 1989. Okay.
Trust me, folks, it's worth it. Check these out.
So we have the Dream Team, made up of Dusty Rhodes, Brutus Beefcake, the Red Rooster, and Tito Santana versus the Enforcers, Big Boss Man, Bad News Brown, Rick Martel, and the Honky Tonk Man.
The Honky Tonk Man doesn't strike me as an enforcer, but okay.
We have the King's Court, Randy Savage, Earthquake, Dino Bravo and Greg Valentine versus the 4x4s, Axel Jim Duggan, Bret Hart, Ronnie Garvin, and Hercules.
Oh, that is tremendous.
The Hulkamaniacs, Hulk Hogan, Jake Robertson, Demolition versus the Million Dollar Team, Teddy Biasi, Powers of Pain, and Zeus.
Oh God, he's back. Then we if I had to endure another backstage promo, oh my god.
Then we have the Rude Brood, Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and Rougeau Brothers versus Rowdy's, Roddy Piper, Jimmy Snuka, and the Bushwhackers.
Oh, that would be a good one.
And the final match is the Ultimate Warriors. The Ultimate Warrior, Jim Neidhart and the Rockers versus the Heenan family. Bobby Heenan, Andre the Giant, Haku, and Arn Anderson.
Okay, well, I'm definitely looking forward to this Survivor Series. My God.
Telling you, these early Survivor Series are fun. I can't wait to get but I will say this. I was watching Survivor Series 95 last night. Yeah. That's the stupidest Survivor Series because that is so confusing. We're going to get there and you're going to be so confused.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because I'm enjoying this Tuesday timeline show. So hopefully you guys enjoyed tonight and make sure you join us on Saturday for the 300th episode of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. It's been one hell of a fun journey. And if you've been along with us at any point, you definitely want to join us for that one. And if you're new to our show, why not start now? It's a perfect time. Until next time, we'll see you next week. Absolutely. Welcome to the greatest love you've ever